Welcome to the Online Success Journey Podcast, your opportunity to discover and learn from entrepreneurs like yourself. This is not your typical podcast, but a place where you can get the real story and find out how real people encounter speed bumps and detours, but journey through to find success. Now here's your host for the Online Success Journey Podcast, Patience.
Hello everyone and welcome to Online Success Journey. This is
episode 241.
Are you ready to join the clan? Today we have Grant Aldridge, CEO and the founder of OnlineDegree.com. He has spent his entire career working in startups with 15 years of experience and two prior exits to publicly traded company. Hello, Grant.
Hi, Patience. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. I know the clan is anxious to hear your story, so let's get started with the basics. Can you tell my clan a little bit about your background, about what you did before you started your own online business?
Yeah, well, you know, I've been a startup entrepreneur my entire career. And for the last 15 years, I've basically been creating and founding and building startups. And prior to this, I feel like I was very lucky and fortunate to have created two startups that exited to a publicly traded company. And after that, you know, I was, you know, what really happened was that after I made the sale, I really had a period of introspection and just to try to figure out, you know, what did I want to do moving forward? You know, what was going to make me happy? Because one of the things I realized was that although I liked building startups and I like the whole experience, I wasn't building something that truly made me happy, that motivated me on a daily basis to be excited to go to work. I was helping, you know, pharmaceutical companies in my last lifetime. And, you know, that's great. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it didn't fulfill me the way that I am now and what I'm doing now.
What fulfills you?
You know, I realized, well, let me take a step back. I feel very fortunate that I did have that period of introspection because I think that many people in their lives, you know, we're all busy adults, go through our lives and it goes by so fast. We rarely sit down and ask ourselves, what will make us happy? You know, what do we know about ourselves? And I really did that. And I was really able to get to know myself a lot better. And I realized that I didn't want, you know, a bigger and greater startup like I really initially thought. I just wanted to come to work happy. I wanted to help people. And I wanted to achieve something that would be grand for the world as a whole. That was my kind of what I thought would make me happy, was that I could do it on my terms and make a difference. So that, you know, I could literally come to work every day smiling.
Would you then that be like you found your clarity?
I think I really have. I, you know, when I was going through that period, I was trying to think of what that big cause would be, you know, something that would be impactful and at the same time would mean a lot to me. And I kept settling on education. And the reason being was that my family comes from an education background. So it was a common dinner table conversation that we were always talking about the importance of education and the issues that would arise. And then I have also seen as an amateur economist, just the problems that we're seeing across the globe from a lack of education. You know, it's one of those things that is directly tied to someone's success and ability to have a good living and lifestyle. And finally, I personally left college with a large amount of student debt. And it really affected me later in life. I feel lucky that I was able to pay it off and able to get that education. But I, you know, only in, up until my late 20s did I finally pay it all off. So really all three of those things created the perfect storm. And I decided I wanted to solve higher education. I wanted to make higher education something that could be affordable and accessible for everybody.
How are you doing that?
Well, it didn't come, you know, the idea didn't come right away, but I'll tell you what we're doing. So the company is called OnlineDegree.com. And the way it works is you can get started in 60 seconds without entrance exams, without interviews, without fees. Come in and begin taking college-level courses online on your own schedule, as many as you'd like. And we've organized with universities where you can get credit for the courses you take towards your degree so that it lowers the amount of the cost for school. And we also go above and beyond and organize discounts for our students at those universities as well. So students can save up to 30, 40% on their degree. And we've provided the entire platform for free.
That's something different.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you have partners in this degree.com?
Well, you know, I do have, I got some investment early on, but I was the only original founder with my wife, essentially. My wife was a big help in helping me kind of understand and, you know, what we wanted to do. But I was the sole founder. And the and then I did get a little bit of investment to get it off the ground to build the platform, but that's it. And of course, now today we've grown considerably, and the organization has a lot of people within it. But you know, from our simple roots, it was really just sitting in a room with an idea.
Thank you for sharing. What is the most dangerous belief an online entrepreneur can have?
You know, I actually think, so I love entrepreneurs and I have a romantic view of entrepreneurship and I love the journey that they take. I would argue that every idea that comes to market is a dangerous idea. And especially for online entrepreneurs, and I'll explain. When you say dangerous, you know, dangerous in the sense that an entrepreneur, especially online, can literally change the world. You can, with an online setting and very little capital relative to traditional businesses, create massively disruptive and dangerous, quote, ideas and implement them. It's really such a unique and amazing time in human history. And so that I love it from that standpoint, that any idea can be dangerous because of the speed to market, low capital requirements, and the ability to reach so many people. In addition to that, I think that's a really great term for any entrepreneur because dangerous is something that you have to assume for yourself. You know, every person who creates a company usually has people around them that they will employ, that are part of their family who will be impacted by living the life of a struggling entrepreneur before things take off. So I would say that even in some ways, you have to think that every idea is kind of dangerous, both in what it could achieve and the impact it could have on you and your family.
You said you come from the background of education, but why do you do what you do?
You know, at the end of the day, I love to create. As part of that introspection I mentioned previously, I looked back at my life and I really looked at the things that I love to do. And for me, I can trace back all the way that I've always loved to build things. And, you know, whether that's physical or, you know, intangible, like something online, it's the building that excites me. Where, you know, for example, there's a lot of people who are in careers where, you know, they're a broker. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, good for them. If they're happy being a broker and doing like certain transactions in finance or real estate, that's great. But I could never do that because it doesn't excite me to chase like a transaction. To me, I have to be building something. And so that is the most exciting thing that really drives me is I love being able to be in an environment where I get to create. And there's really no environment that's better than that, than being an entrepreneur. Because you know, when you work in a large organization, ultimately, you're probably going to only be working in one small facet of that organization, like one department. So you're not going to be able, you're going to have a padded wall around you and how big you can think and how, you know, how creative you can be. And then of course, big organizations tend to move very slowly because they're risk averse. And so, you know, even if you've got this grand idea, you're rarely going to be able to fully, you know, take all that creativity and put it onto a palette. So I think that's what really what excites me most.
Let's put money aside. How do you know you are successful?
Well, I think that's easy. I think it comes down to the to happiness. You know, I think a lot of people will put the term success as a function of finance. And I think that you need to look at your finances as more of a threshold than the goal itself. You know, for example, you don't want to have to be worrying if you're going to eat for a particular month. And so I think that you have to reach a certain threshold of finances for your success where you're comfortable and you can live. But I also think a lot of that's mindset as well, that you need to start removing yourself from materialistic lifestyle and to what really matters. Like, hey, I can just enjoy my meal. I don't need to go drive a Mercedes. I don't need that to show success. Because if it really comes to happiness as the function of success, well, then I could just be happy doing what I do every day or spending the time with the people I love every day. And that's my success. And then you don't worry about the common pitfalls that people fall into with success. Like, yeah, I have to have that new car. I have to have that bigger house. I have to have, you know, X, Y, you know, all these different things. So ultimately, I think it comes down to happiness. And probably I would caveat that with a better understanding of really what that happiness is and transcending from materialism.
Can anyone be an entrepreneur, or are some people more cut out for it than others?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I've asked myself that a lot. And you know, I don't think it's for everybody. And I'm not saying that because I think that people's tastes and sometimes people's preferences don't always make them best for this. And I think it's because, one, there's a general misunderstanding of how much work it truly is and how chaotic and unpredictable this lifestyle is. And so I would just say that while I think that almost everybody has the capability to do it, not everybody would prefer to do it. So, you know, I'll even deepen this a little bit further. You know, one thing that I'm always amazed about that people kind of from the outside miscategorize with entrepreneurship is that, you know, it always isn't, you know, the large amount of money, because for a long, long time, you're actually, you know, struggling to get something off the ground. You're probably making less money because if it's your baby, you're going to take less money to ensure its success so you can make more money on a big company. A lot of times then it's very chaotic because, you know, if the business has, you know, good days or bad days, ultimately you have to be the person that's concerned with that or impacted by that, where a big company usually just pays you a salary. So there's certain factors like that can make it not ideal. And then I think finally is that sometimes it does take a certain way of looking at business to come up with good ideas. And not everybody always does that. But I think that is something you can actually change. I think that's something that could be educated to help people change their mindset. But yeah, so I do think people are capable, but I think people wouldn't always prefer it.
What have you learned from business as a whole?
I think being authentic is a good one, because, you know, if you're authentic, and I mean that in, you know, just being yourself and being in a role that allows you to be yourself, you really thrive. I mean, for one, if you're authentic, authenticity is magnetic. You know, I remember when in the early 90s, when people, you know, when rap music became so popular, and a lot of people were thinking, you know, what is with rap music? But it was, I mean, I personally really like rap music, but two, it was authentic. You had, you know, these individuals coming off in their lifestyle, singing about things that were real. It was authentic. And that was such a welcome thing compared to all of the media constructs and producing constructs you would see prior to that. I mean, it was really something new and unique. And so one thing about being authentic is that it brings people to you because people are always drawn to authenticity. So, you know, to be successful in a business, you have to have consensus and you have to have backing by so many people in industry, your clients, your partners, industry leaders, the press, you know, all these different groups. When you're authentic, they naturally gravitate towards you because they know you're the real thing and that means something. In addition, I think it's a good blueprint for happiness, because if you're not doing something that you enjoy doing, it's you're never going to be happy, and I think it would limit your success. For example, if you want to be in flip-flops all day long and board shorts, well, then you shouldn't be doing a job where you have to wear a suit all day. Why? Or in my case, I realize that I'm not a very good manager. And so, you know, I don't want to have a role where I have to sit in meetings and manage hundreds of people every day, because I don't think I'm very good at it. So I think that's a really key one for anybody, you know, in starting a business.
What is one thing no one knows about you?
Huh. I haven't asked that in a while. I gotta think about that. Mm-hmm. I'm usually pretty transparent. I think most, you know, it doesn't always come across that I'm very much a family man. I really enjoy just being with my family, my children, my mother, my brother, you know, those things like that. And I don't particularly like, you know, deviating from that, because I just feel that there's so little time and I get so much satisfaction through those relationships that that doesn't always come across, right? A lot of times we only talk about work and we don't get to talk about the other things that motivate us in our, you know, holistically about our lives.
What grounds you?
Well, I would say that it grounds me as well, very much. Because in this case, you always realize that at the end of the day, that's really what's important. One thing that I do to help me be more effective every day is that I always ask myself when I'm doing certain tasks, is this necessary or does this keep me further away from spending time with my family? And that's a very powerful, you know, yardstick to use, because when you do start a business, one of the things that, you know, no one talks about is that, you know, you don't really know what to do. There's so many ways that you can spend your time, black holes of time, right? Because opportunities are all over the place and you could spend, because you want to be successful, it's really a black hole. You could spend as much time as possible, but the reality is you probably shouldn't be. You probably should be spending your time only on the most important direct paths to get you there. And it's a constant challenge. And so one of the ways that I battle that is that I look at it through that light, because that's the most powerful, right? That's the real trade-off. If I'm going to spend a few hours on this, it better be worth the fact that I'm not going to spend time with my family.
Give us 3 tips how to create a successful startup.
I think the very first step is to ask yourself a maxim, a 3,000-year-old maxim from ancient Greece, which is know thyself. And to give you some background on that, that was the inscribed on the temple of Apollo, which was the god of wisdom. And in ancient Greece, the rationale was that how could you know anything if you don't know yourself? And I think that I find that so many entrepreneurs, when they're coming up with that right business idea, they're rarely considering what's going to make them happy and what's the best idea for them personally. You know, and usually when we look at business ideas, you know, traditional things are considered like, okay, how much money can it make? Does it scale? How much money is it going to take to get off the ground? Which are all good questions. However, I think what's missed is what we just talked about. You know, is this conducive to the lifestyle that I want to lead and that I'm going to be able to succeed at? So if this role or this company means I have to manage people all day long, it's probably not a good business choice for me. So I think know thyself is a big one. 2 is I would suggest that you've got to keep your expenses as low as possible. I call it KELP. Keep expenses low as possible, because one thing I think is a common failure for many entrepreneurs that I know is they run out of money. And when I say your expenses, I mean not only the business expenses, but the expenses in your personal life. You have to give yourself enough time and enough runway to get that business off the ground. And that's a problem. It always takes longer than you think. I remember, you know, even like in cases where I'd say, oh, we definitely will have X or we'll be at Y within a year. It took longer. And I've done this multiple times, so I should know better by now, estimate that. And even for me, I'm not good at it still because it always just takes longer. So that's another.
How long did it? Sorry to cut you off. How long did it take you to pay yourself a salary in your startups?
Wow, each one was drastically different. But definitely, I would say with each of them, it took about a year on each.
Wow.
Yeah. And so think about that, a year. That's a fairly long time for someone to go without a salary, which is scary for most people to take that leap. And so I think that a lot of times what people have to do is they have to figure out ways that they can hack, you know, that into the process, right? Can I consult for a little bit of money, or how do we cut costs at home to provide more runway, right? So if our monthly expenses are $5,000, how can I make it $3,000? You know, exercises like that to help you, because ultimately on the end of the day, most business ideas that are well thought out will succeed. It just takes time.
Do you have mentors in your businesses?
Yeah, I think I'm very fortunate that I have an incredible amount of mentors and advice that I get from people who are far more talented than I am. And that it's critical. You know, one of the things that I wish was that I had more mentorship when I was younger, in terms of business and entrepreneurship. My parents were not entrepreneurs. They were educators. And I had one family mentor who was very dear to me, who taught me pretty much everything I know, when I got started, but you know, I didn't have enough exposure. And so I, you know, that's something that I focus on a lot with my children. And I think it's key for everyone because there's so much to know. And not only in general, but in your, you know, particular space or industry, and you need to seek out good mentors.
What is the most valuable thing your mentor has told you?
Yeah, that's a tough question as well. I've gotten a lot of good advice over the years, Patience. That's not, it's like,
well,
you know,
like your family mentor.
I'll tell you.
Is dear to you?
Yeah, that is probably. I'll tell you one. What my childhood mentor gave me a number of stories, but I thought that there was one in particular that he thought was really good. And he said, you know, people aren't inherently bad, and nobody wants to not pay you for the work that you've done. But sometimes there is a psychological condition that happens when people feel that they're overpaying you for something. And he said, just to be aware of that and be prepared for that. And he gave me this fantastic story that I guess when he was young, he had a moving company. And what him and his friend would do is, because they were in the San Fernando Valley, which it gets, you know, incredibly hot during the summertime during the day, like 100 degree heat, that to avoid that, they would get started working in the morning for the moving company, let's say at 5 a.m. And they would literally be running to and working like three times harder than someone else would be to get the move so that they could get under the heat. So when they would go to the person and, you know, after they had worked out a full day rate or full rate for moving them, and let's say they were able to complete it in 3 hours as opposed to 10, sometimes the person would say, look, I can't pay you this. And, you know, he reflected on the story and said, you know, well, why not? He said, well, because you only did it in 3 hours when, you know, I thought this would take a full day. And so it's interesting, the psychology in that example, because I think what it does is it helps us understand a lot of times why we get pushback with clients and whatnot, because of the perception that maybe we're being overpaid.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
What is one thing that has contributed to your success?
Wow. I would definitely say my wife. You know, if you are going to do something as chaotic and unpredictable as a startup, you need to have an emotional bedrock that you're rooted in. And that emotional bedrock comes from, you know, support and belief because every day, you know, a startup is an emotional roller coaster. You've got lots of ups, lots of downs. And the sad reality is that normally you're getting more bad news than good, because there's always setbacks and there's always problems. And, you know, not having that support at home could really break you, because, you know, you're going to be self-doubting yourself every single day. You're going to be feeling that you're putting your family at risk. And so if you don't have that support, it would be very challenging to be able to operate, move forward, and try to make it work.
Okay, let's talk about your business. Tell us more about it.
Okay. Well, it's been pretty phenomenal. I mean, really, so I would describe this as a modern alternative to junior college, because really I feel that the junior college system, while it has noble intentions, is really failing so many people across the country. And I think primarily because it's a government institution. The people in those organizations are incredible, and it's nothing about them. It's just the nature of the fact that it's a government institution, and government institutions move very slowly. They're ultimately, you know, taxpayer funded. So they have a very odd sense of funding and how they operate. And the reality was, in the marketplace, there weren't other good ways to try to lower the cost of school and do it on your time, right? Meet the needs of today's working adult who doesn't want to leave work at the middle of the day to go to class, who doesn't want to have a set class schedule. They want to be able to have the flexibility to learn for an hour at night while they're making dinner for the kids, you know, whatever that is. And the cost component, it still costs a lot of money. It's not free. I mean, it still costs thousands of dollars every year. So I think that because of that, that's what I wanted to solve. I wanted to make it easier and create a full platform for people to ease in, get the help they need, make the right choice, and get back to school.
Wow. Is this for everyone around the globe, or is this just for only California? Or United States only?
Yeah, currently it's just for the United States. And the reason we did that is that I really wanted to test this out, and I understood that market very well. And so I initially launched for just US residents or citizens and for US based universities. Now, that said, we got such an overwhelming response from international students who wanted to join, that we're now building in new systems that will open the doors for international students. So it's not ready quite yet, but we're getting there.
When do you think it will be ready?
I'm hoping...
Because I'm getting excited.
Yeah, that's great. I'm hoping after the summer.
Oh, that would be nice. At least everyone can join in and benefit from being educated. Oh, thank you. All right. Where can we find this school, and how can we connect with you?
Yeah, well, you know, the website is onlinedegree.com. And I would love to connect with people. I'm most active on LinkedIn. So if you go to LinkedIn and you search for Grant Aldrich or onlinedegree.com, you should find me. And would love to talk with people there. And, you know, of course, just to learn more about what we're doing and how we're trying to change things, you can check out the site.
So, Grant, there will be more from Grant in a moment. If you are listening on one of the many podcasting platforms rather than my website, and you are encouraged by Grant's journey, go to onlinesuccessjourney.com for a bonus portion of the interview. The Online Success Journey is a wonderful membership community built for people searching for the path to success. We are one big clan, and you can be part of this community for free. Once you have joined the clan, click on part two of Grant's journey or over 200 plus other journeys that are available, and learn how you can find the right path for your own online success journey. That's a wrap, clan. Remember, success is a journey. Patience and grind.
This is not the end of the journey. We hope you've enjoyed listening to part one and want to be sure you know there is a second part to this and every journey podcast at onlinesuccessjourney.com, filled with even more success tips, uplifting stories, and even a bit of fun. There are dozens of episodes only available to the members of the Online Success Journey clan. Check out the website and click on Join the Clan for more information. Patience would like to thank you for listening to this podcast, and she has a free audio gift for you at her website. Go to OnlineSuccessJourney.com for instant access to this gift. Of course, you know that listening to the journeys of others helps each of us chart our own path. So make sure you're subscribed to be notified as each new interview is posted. There are so many ways to stay connected to the Online Success Journey and to listen in. And if you're enjoying the podcast, we appreciate your help in telling others. One of the best ways to share the benefit you get is to rate and review it at Stitcher and other sites by clicking the stars or completing the ratings form, by clicking thumbs up and leaving a comment on YouTube, or liking and sharing the podcast on social media. To review the podcast within iTunes, simply open iTunes to the podcast, click on Ratings and Reviews, then write a review. On behalf of Patience, and until next time, thanks once more for listening. It is our hope that this podcast will guide you on your own online success journey.